Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Over the next 2 hours, you'll learn about a quartet of new ventures. Any or all of them hold the possibility of impacting your TV viewing and usage. First on this learning curve, Very Local, a smart product offered mix of local and national content. Hearst Television Senior Executive Andy Fitzgerald joins me next. The aim of TV Coins, launch new services and engage viewers to see them from day one. More next half hour from Chief Tech Officer Marek Suzuki and Chief Revenue Officer Gustavo Mara. Believe you've seen every TV channel devoted to one sport 24/7? Jack Marafi thinks there's room and viewers for the Handball Channel. And that's not always up to. Marafi begins hour number two, joined by champion handball player Paul Williams. And top gaming outlet FanDuel became a TV programmer this month, turning all horse racing service TVG into FanDuel TV. Again, that's not all, as FanDuel Senior Vice President Kevin Grigsby details during our concluding 30 minutes. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on Spotify, the iRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other leading podcast platforms. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Wherever you are, we thank you for joining us on a very big Friday afternoon for the program about TV's current and future. We think we have an amazing episode in store for you over the next 120 minutes. It's all about new ventures and how they could impact how you watch and use television. And we invite you up to bat to be interactive with all of our guests. How? Pick up the phone and give us a call. Here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, our chat room is open and in business to be interactive with you. So use it. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen, and other people can be live and interactive with you. Andy Fitzgerald from Hearst Television will be live with us here in New York after this group of News Note quickies. Monday night's Primetime Emmy Awards presentation on NBC and Peacock, the lowest viewed ever, also tanked on Rotten Tomatoes. 23% from critics, 0%, I'm not kidding, 0% from viewers. 60 Minutes will introduce a new closing feature when Season 55 begins Sunday night on CBS. The Last Minute will update recent segments, preview upcoming stories, tie archive segments to recent events, or offer a brief essay. Another Sunday development, NBC-owned stations in New York, Dallas, and nine other major cities will carry Peacock's fantasy football pregame on a weekly basis, hosted by Matthew Berry. And FuseBeat, Fuse Media's channel offering a mix of content directed at African Americans, is now operating as Shades of Black. And that is News Notes for today. In recent years, Hearst has become a player far beyond their group of television stations around the country. They do syndications such as the Soledad O'Brien-hosted Matter of Fact, seen weekends on many television stations, with many NBC stations around the country. There's the marvelous group of weekend shows for kids, families, and everybody else that are put together by the division Litton Entertainment on ABC, NBC, CBS, other networks as well. And now they're involved in the smart TV distribution of television services through a project called Very Local. Joining me live here in New York, Hearst Television Senior Vice President Andrew Fitzgerald. Andrew, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much, Simon. Excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you. What is Very Local in a nutshell?
So Very Local is Hearst Television's entry into the streaming landscape. Provides consumers in our markets around the U.S. the opportunity to connect with local newscasts and other great local content via streaming platforms such as Roku, Amazon Fire, and et cetera.
Now, is this service only available in areas where Hearst has a television station, or is the feed available throughout the country no matter what broadcast-owned stations you have in your area?
So there's a version of the feed available in any market around the U.S. In Hearst Television markets, the channel includes local news from the Hearst television station in that market. But we are creating a lot of new, high-quality, original content focused on local communities around the United States and representing those shows to the whole of the U.S., even if it is in a market where we are not providing local news.
And we'll talk more about these shows in a bit, but are these shows using material supplied by the Hearst Station? On our show yesterday, we had the executive producer of Afternoon Focus, which is a brand-new half-hour news information program that is on the Scripps stations running between 3 and 6, 6:30 p.m. local time, that is a mix of inspiring, innovative stories that is put together in part through the Scripps stations and in part through Newsy, which is their national distributed news service.
We are using some station-produced content for a few of these programs. We have programs such as Stitch. So these are also inspiring stories, heartwarming stories from a local community just like yours. And we have a true crime franchise called Hometown Tragedy, which is built out of the really incredible reporting over the last several decades from Hearst television stations around the United States. That said, a lot of the programs that we're creating are wholly new and original, focused on lifestyle topics in our markets, offered as augmenting our local news offering in those markets.
How long has Hearst thought about doing a service like this?
Well, Simon, if you're familiar with our history in the streaming landscape, we have been experimenting in streaming for quite some time. So we were early development partners in the building and growth of the NewsOn platform, which makes full newscasts available from local affiliates all around the U.S. We also had a few years ago built station-branded streaming apps on the Amazon Fire platform. And really from our work in both of those endeavors came our Very Local initiative. And Very Local is It's a much bigger product investment for us. We put a lot more development into this product, but with the idea that we wanted to create the most high-quality streaming environment for local consumers that we could, with a national-facing brand, so that we could better connect with consumers in those national platform stores like the Roku App Store and the Amazon Fire App Store. But then once people are within our service, provide them with the local experience that would make the most sense for them.
Mm-hmm. Very Local is the first of our four ventures, brand new ventures that we are talking about this Friday afternoon on Tomorrow Be Televised, and joining me to talk about Very Local, which is available nationwide and particularly in the areas where Hearst has a television station operating, and that's many areas around the country, we have Senior Vice President Andrew Fitzgerald. He joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming your way Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, you will meet one of the kingpins of true crime television. His name is Scott Weinberger. He has his own production company. He's an Emmy Award winner. And one of his programs is the long-running series on Investigation Discovery ID on the Case with Paula Zahn that celebrated not one but two milestones earlier this month. Scott will be with us in our first half hour. And then we'll introduce you yet another new venture that is up and running called World One Television. It's a service that presents films and television series under programming put together by African-American talent, and they recently made a deal to try to encourage investment in new series and movies. We'll talk to the president of World One TV, Sean Reed. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. In each market where Very Local runs, how much of it is news information programming that's from the stations involved, and how much of it is national?
It's a very different market by market. I would say in most of our markets, as much as a quarter or half of what you might see in the local, Very Local experience will be produced by the broadcast station in that market. And then there's a mix of some national content and some local content that is wholly new original content, along lifestyle themes, specific and exclusive to Very Local. Those can be cooking concepts. We have a cooking competition show in Pittsburgh called Plate It Pittsburgh. They can be travel concepts. We have a concept in many of our markets called Eat, Play, Stay, which looks at driving distance destinations from the originating market, or indeed even dating concepts. We have a concept in our New Orleans market called My Amazing Cheap Date New Orleans, which highlights, entertains with a story about dating, but also then highlights amazing things to do around town on a budget.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the local station contribution, is it just replays of their newscasts on air, or do they do other specific products, specific news programming or news briefs or public affairs shows, things like that, created especially for the service?
So front and center in the Very Local app are the newscasts, and that's we really want to expand the reach of Hearst Television's award-winning broadcast newscasts beyond linear, beyond the digital platforms that they already are on, make sure that we're reaching those consumers in the streaming landscape. In addition, however, to the newscasts, we are including in Very Local all of the other award-winning programming that is being produced by these stations. For example, we have in many of our markets really incredible investigative documentary work under our Chronicle brand. And we make sure not only are those programs available via streaming, but then hosted on demand for, you know, much longer periods of time, so that we are expanding the amount of time that viewers in the market can connect with these investigative reports that are being produced by our stations.
Yeah. Let's talk more about Chronicle. For those people who don't know around the country outside of Boston, Massachusetts, Chronicle is one of the longest-running programs of its kind. It was started originally by WCVB from Boston Broadcasters, the former owners of the station currently now run by Hearst. And it's a nightly, early evening news magazine program, as you mentioned, featuring investigative reports. And it's gotten tons of awards, both on the local and national basis, for its work. And one of the things I've often wondered about Chronicle is whether or not there was going to be an effort to run national. It sounds like this is Very Local, is the long-awaited effort to take Chronicle and make it a national nightly news or daily news magazine.
Well, not exactly, but I'll give you kind of how Chronicle works, how the Chronicle brand works in the Hearst Television landscape. So absolutely, in Boston, from WCVB, Chronicle is one of the best local news magazine show you can find in America. It is the level of reporting on Boston, New England you will find in that show is absolutely unparalleled. Under the Chronicle brand, other television stations around the Hearst Television Group are producing special reports. And so those are reports that our stations are producing, typically deeper investigations, looking into things that are happening around the community. Now, where Very Local plays a role here is where stations are producing those deeper investigative pieces, we're making sure that those are available for a streaming audience as on-demand content for long periods of time. For Chronicle in Boston, the show as produced by WCVB, this is very exciting for fans of Chronicle. We are starting to make the archive of the Chronicle show available via the Very Local app. So if you are a big fan of Chronicle, and I know that there are a lot out there, you will see us over the next year or so start to introduce more and more of the Chronicle archive into the Very Local app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen efforts of Chronicle. It is a marvelous program. It's one of the most amazing local ventures ever. In a way, it reminds you of PM Magazine, where the famous Group W nightly magazine, some cases was called Evening Magazine, where you would have local stations produce material. They would also be able to produce material for other stations taking the program. And then there was also the national feed as well, where you would pick up like a library of national stories, pick what you wanted, and you could do it in your own way. So it looks like Chronicle is sort of needing that a little bit.
Well, yeah. So with the exception, I think the comparison to PM Newscast is apt, with the exception that in Boston, that that nightly episode of Chronicle is wholly locally produced and original to that market, in a way that speaks to not only Hearst, but of course WCVB's longstanding over 50-year commitment to providing the absolute best coverage of Boston, New England.
Well, that in particular, maybe you never know, a national or a version, a PM-type version of Chronicle, where all the local stations can participate and bring the best of their local reporting, or bring their local reporting up to the kind of standards that Chronicle has set in the Boston, New England area, would be great. So we'll see what happens. Let's talk about the national shows that are available in each market. You mentioned some of them. What are some of the other ones that that people are tuning into?
So, yeah, we are producing some shows that are available in and focused on local markets, and we're producing some shows that are produced around the country. And so, for example, one of our nationally focused shows is called Finding Adventure, hosted by Kinga Phillips, who is one of the hosts on Discovery Shark Week. Kinga goes around the country and meets people who need a little adventure in their lives and takes them out in and around where they live to find outdoor adventures that they may not have known existed in their community. And this show, very much like all of the shows that we're producing in Very Local, is about connecting with the community around you, whether it is cooking concepts, dating concepts, travel concepts. It really is offering that viewer first and foremost, we will entertain you with stories about communities, yours or communities like yours. But second, and very importantly, we want to offer the viewer some utility around what they could do in their community. What are the ways that they could connect with local businesses, with local restaurants, with destinations that are reachable from where they live?
You are hearing Andrew Fitzgerald. He's the Hearst Television Senior Vice President who oversees Very Local, the smart TV, smart device distributed service that's available on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, TV sets that have the Android TV operating system, et cetera, et cetera. And he joins me here in New York this half hour for the start of our special two-hour Friday edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Amp, I'm with you alongside here in New York, 74 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment on our main news with Andrew, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up a week from today on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll tell you about another new plumbing venture that is launching a service aimed at kids. The project is called Blogbox. You'll meet the partnership director, Ann McMichael, and you'll find out about this very unique children's service that involves first-time television creators. Also, we will discuss what's coming up in TV the rest of this year. We'll have some post-Emmy Award thoughts and some other things from one of the TV reporters at the popular website The Wrap, Natalie Oganeskun. That'll be with us Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now, around Labor Day weekend, you did something very interesting where you did a unique kind of hour each night or each day for people around the country to discover different Very Local programs. Tell us about that and how well it did.
Absolutely. Throughout the Hearst Television footprint, around the week following Labor Day, we premiered a series of episodes, an hour each day, under the title Very Local, More to Explore. And our idea here was we really wanted to introduce our linear audiences to all of the programming that was available via the Very Local streaming apps. Those programs have been to date exclusive to the streaming platform. We expect them to remain that way for quite some time. And so we wanted to make sure that for those viewers that have longstanding connections with our linear properties throughout the Hearst Television footprint, that they knew there was more to explore. There were these great shows about communities around the United States, in some cases about the communities where they live and work, available through this service.
What's been the response from advertisers, either on the local or national level, to this service so far?
So, to date, our advertising is largely programmatic. We are in the AVOD universe that a lot of free ad-supported streaming channels operate in. It has been a really interesting growth to watch how the programmatic marketplace has connected with our channels, and the growth there has been so rapid, as you're seeing advertiser interest building in the AVOD space, and then as our audience is building in our channels, advertisers starting to find the right matches with consumers in those markets. And so that is that has been our revenue focus to date, is, can we offer fast channels in the marketplace that are really attracting the best bids from the programmatic marketplace?
Mm-hmm. In the time we have left, let's talk about where things are going to go with Very Local, both near and far future. Can you tell us about any new programs that are in development that people will see through Very Local this fall and, let's say, early on in 2023?
Well, I'm excited to share that we have just launched two new programs in Sacramento, California. And these programs are also available in our national feed. So if you were to download Very Local outside of our footprint or change your location to a national feed. So two shows. One is a California-centric version of our travel format, Eat, Play, Stay, going to destinations all around Northern California. And the second is a show called Maddie and Dixie Take Sacktown. Maddie and Dixie are social influencers who have built followings on Instagram and TikTok focused on talking about what is so great about Sacramento. And so we have worked with them to bring their recommendations to an audience via this streaming show.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a production unit that is specifically working on new series for Very Local? And if not now, is that something that you might do? Also, are you getting proposals either from station producers or from outside talent who are interested in developing programs for you?
So we produce a lot of this content in-house. We also work in partnership with production companies in local markets around the U.S., one of the things we're really proud of is how much we are localizing this production and trying to make sure that when we're telling stories in local communities, we're working with local storytellers to tell those stories.
Earlier this week, we had NYC Television Week here in New York, first time in 3 years, and on the next TV Summit that took place here in New York on Tuesday, we had representatives from two services that are also working with local stations to showcase their programming on both a local and national level. One is STIRR. That's the multi-channel bundle run by Sinclair, one of the nation's largest TV station operators. And the other is BUIT, B-U-I-T, which is a service that presents not only local news programming but also event programming, such as parades, debates, special sports events that local stations produce, and that can be carried nationwide. Has there been any thought about perhaps aligning with one or the other to give a new distribution window for Very Local?
Well, you have read our business strategy well, Simon. We are in partnership with BUIT, and BUIT is one of a number of partners through which we syndicate the fast channels within our local markets. So via BUIT, Tubi, Amazon Fire News, Samsung TV Plus, these are places where as consumers are beginning to shift to an ad-supported streaming environment, we want to meet them where they are. And so we have, of course, the Very Local app. We encourage folks to download the app, really deeply engage with us, spend as much time with us as they would like. But also, we want to make sure that we are making making our programming available out on the other services where people are consuming streaming content.
One other possibility is that through owning Litton Entertainment, initially one of the great mid-market or middle syndicators, you now own Saturday morning television nationally with such shows as Weekend Adventure on ABC, the More You Know programs on NBC, the It's Epic Dream Team on CBS, One Saturday Morning on the CW, et cetera, et cetera. Any possibility that Very Local could be used as a new distribution window for all the Saturday morning shows, especially given the fact that if you want to watch these programs, you have to watch on Saturday morning on a particular broadcast network?
So we, the Litton Group, which has become now the Hearst Media Production Group, representing an even greater investment by Hearst in original production for broadcast. We are actually working in close partnership with the Hearst Media Production Group to bring shows that have been originally Litton shows into the Very Local environment. So indeed, some of the titles that have been so popular out on broadcast networks for so long are now visible in the Very Local app. Titles such as Rock the Park or The Champion Within.
Because they're great programs, and for many of those programs, it's a situation where you have to, like, scan the dial to watch it because they're not well in many cases, they are not well promoted to market. You do not get a lot of promotion outside of Saturday morning on the broadcast network, whether it's ABC or CBS. You just have to, like, find them. So Very Local could be a great way for people to watch these well-produced, in many cases, Emmy Award-winning, sometimes Peabody Award-winning shows, wherever you are around the country, outside of the Saturday morning blocks.
Well, and I think, we, of course, see enormous value in the library of content that was produced, that has been produced by Litton over the years. As you say, that programming is such incredibly high quality. It is so family-friendly and entertaining and educational all at the same time. Really kind of some of the best material you can find on television, in my opinion. You are seeing some distribution through the Very Local app. We are also, you will see syndication of Litton shows via dedicated FAST channels in other platforms as well. So, for example, Litton has, the Hearst Media Production Group has taken the Litton content around Jack Hanna and made an entire FAST channel around that. There is additionally the FAST channel called Explore, no leading E, just X-P-L-O-R-E, which is syndicated through many different aggregators of FAST channels, which highlights really the best of that Litton content for an audience in the advertising-supported space in streaming.
Yeah. Final question very quickly, Andrew. Does interactivity play a role in Very Local down the road?
Potentially. So there is where streaming gives us a little bit more opportunity to engage in more of a dialogue with the consumer. We want to play with that. And so certainly as we look at from a content perspective, from a revenue perspective, are there ways that we can start to weave interactivity into the streaming landscape? On the revenue side, I think that there's likely great opportunity around interactive advertising. You've seen the ads that sort of allow a consumer to select the amount of ad load they would like to see in a video on demand program. That's the sort of thing we too would like to experiment with in the streaming space. We include in our advertising ads that are sold via the Hearst AnyScreen product, which allows local advertisers throughout the U.S. to connect with streaming. And we are bringing ads from local advertisers and starting to surface them through Very Local. And so one of the things that we're really hoping to do with Very Local is as we see innovation in advertising in the streaming space, we want to start to bring that innovation to the local level so that our local advertisers have similar opportunities to national advertisers in the streaming landscape via Very Local and via our Hearst AnyScreen product.
You can catch Very Local, depending on where you are, on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, and TV sets with Android TV as the operating system. For more details about the service online, go to www.verylocal.com/about. That's www.verylocal.com/about, programmed by Hearst Television. Andy Fitzgerald, thank you very much for leading off our new venture episode of Tomorrow Be Televised this Friday afternoon. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Congratulating on what Very Local is doing now, and hopefully what it'll be doing not too far down the road.
Thank you so much, Simon. Really enjoyed it.
You're very welcome, Andrew. Us too. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend. Andrew Fitzgerald, Hearst Television Senior Vice President, joining me here in New York. When we come back, our second of our four ventures is called TV Coins. And it's a venture where it's not only about bringing new channels to market, but having you see them off the bat. You will meet the Chief Technology and the Chief Business Officer of the service. They'll be joining me from Concord, Massachusetts, and Miami, respectively, as we close at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to Best Internet Radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love old-time radio from Inner Sanctum to Suspense and Escape, check out Erie House. It's your home for great old-time radio drama. Today, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's VTR 24/7 always at YouTube.com. More available now on smart TV sets and devices. Welcome back to our second half hour of this two-hour edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, all about new ventures that can make a difference in how you watch and use television. Simon Appelbaum with you live from New Weather, York, where it is 75 degrees at the bottom of the hour. You have a question or comment for our next pair of guests. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. The next venture you're going to hear about is called TV Coins. And recently, they received $10 million initial funding. What do they want to do? Well, they want to incubate new television services and get you to watch them off the bat. Joining me live first from Concord, Massachusetts, the Chief Technology Officer of the venture, Marek Kucheski. Marek, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And about to join us from Miami, Florida, the Chief Business Officer of the venture, Gustavo Maher. Gustavo, welcome in. All right, we're going to hold on a second. We're going to try to get him on any moment. Gustavo, welcome aboard. Well, I'll tell you what. Marek, we'll start with you, and hopefully Gustavo will join us any moment. Marek, give us more about what TV Coins is all about.
Sure. Thanks, Simon. So TV Coins helps TV channels, content creators, content owners, to launch a streaming service. We're a technology company. We provide the all the technology that's needed to launch a streaming app and to enable our customers to launch a successful service to grow their audience. The unique thing about this solution is because obviously there's a significant amount of streaming platforms already out there. The unique thing about the solution is that it's coupled with a incentive program, which means that effectively the viewers have a rewards program built into the app that they can take advantage of to accumulate rewards and then redeem them for various benefits. So I think it's an extremely unique business model. It's a very unique value proposition and we see tremendous uptake among TV channels that are looking to increase their audience and incentivize their viewers.
Mm-hmm. And Gustavo Maher is now with us. Gustavo, welcome in. How does this rewards concept work?
So it's part of our innovation. It's to also make the viewer part of the business. So basically, like, we have a rewards program that incentivizes people to engage and watch more content. So let's say it works basically like a mileage program. So the more you fly, the more miles you accumulate. So basically, like, the concept is the same. The more content you watch, more content you consume, you accumulate TV coins, and that's actually where the company name comes from. And when you have enough coins, you can use those for Amazon gift cards, some other retail stores, bonus or credits. So basically, like, you have an account where you register and you start accumulating coins for every channel, for every content provider that works with TV coins. You can accumulate points or TV coins to watch them on any of our customers.
Yeah. Who are you working with in terms of new programming services or new individual programs?
So we are starting our deployments in Latin America. Now starting to go, like, we have our initial U.S. customers and also targeting now Europe and well, basically the rest of the world. But the best reference to share that we're starting is a TV channel called Telemedellin for Colombia. It's a tier one channel with a few million viewers daily on their traditional distribution platforms that now migrated to also have their own OTT, direct-to-consumer service with us. So basically they have their commercial deployment about 1 month ago, and they have a download rate of the app like of around 2,000, a bit more, 2,000 downloads a day. And what we're bringing to them is the capability to have their own D2C offer with their own branded app and distributing not only in Colombia but globally. So one interesting aspect that we saw is that the very first campaign, ad campaign that ran through their service in our app actually was coming from the U.S. because a big diaspora of Colombians here in the Americas are downloading it in the U.S. and watching their content from here. So again, the app itself, the platform itself suits very well from I'm saying standalone content producers like YouTubers up to traditional TV channels. And today we have signed a contract with around 20 content providers, and mostly half of it are deployed or in the final stage of deployment with us.
Marek, before I get back to, and I believe we may have a call on the line, so we're going to get to that shortly, but in terms of the situation, are you hearing from any U.S.-based television services who want to use your venture to get off the ground?
Oh, absolutely. I think for a lot of U.S.-based channels and content owners, this is a tremendous opportunity to accelerate their go-to-market planning, simply because there's no upfront fees. Some of our customers have gone live within a week. It's trivial. The whole process of onboarding and launching apps for a variety of different platforms is extremely straightforward. And at the end of the day, the operator, the channel have their own app, their own brand in the various app stores, and they can promote that brand and build their own following direct to consumer. So it's a totally different kind of value prop than they've seen traditionally with other distribution arrangements that they have.
We are speaking with two of the key executives behind TV Coins. It's a venture that is out to create new programming services, get them off the ground, at the same time get you to watch them right off the bat. We're speaking with Chief Technology Officer Marek Klucheski and Chief Business Officer Gustavo Mar. They're joining us from Concord, Massachusetts and Miami, Florida, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and Alba, I'm with you live from New York, 75 degrees the bottom of the hour, beautiful and sunny here in the Big Apple, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone. Give us a call with a question or feedback. It's 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up later this half hour, before the top of the hour, we have our classic trivia question. We're still looking for a winner, so you could be it. So stay tuned. Get your thinking caps going, because we'll post the question before the top of the hour. Free prize in play if you are first with the correct answer. We have a call coming in. I believe we're going to get to that in a moment. But first, from each of you, what kind of content do the people you are affiliated want to do? Do they want to do scripted shows? Do they want to do lifestyle programming? Do they want to do what kind of content, what genres of content do they want to offer?
So what you're seeing today is actually there's no, let's say, specific interest. As Mark well said, like the business model that we're bringing to the table that allows any content owner to have their own app, to have their own like global distribution if they have the rights to do so, at no cost, no risk, is not really point or restricting to any specific genre. So right now we have like traditional variety TV channels deployed with us. We have like esports and gamers that used to be YouTubers with now their own app with us. And we have become like news channels. So basically the app is not restricting and the business model actually invites all kind of genres and content producers to have their own app and distribution right now. So basically like we can find a bit of everything on who we're working with today.
Alrighty. All right, let's take a call and let's hear who we have. Hello, you're on Tabarbi Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello. All right, we'll try again shortly. And while we see if we can get this caller back on, Marek, talk about getting this $10 million in seed funding. Where did it come from? And could it come as a surprise because you're a new venture? You know, to get that kind of loot off the bat is pretty remarkable.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think it's not really remarkable if you factor in the kind of the premises of the business, the plan, and kind of our track record and execution. It's a new venture, but all of us have been in this industry for a long time, and we've kind of seen a number of customers go through the process of deploying over-the-top streaming services, and we know what the pain points are, and we know what they need to be successful and how to execute properly. And with this venture, we essentially are giving them a solution, a single solution to most of their problems, that allows them for a predictable and on-time delivery of their streaming vision and their streaming strategy. So when we presented that vision to the investors, we really didn't have a lot of pushback. We didn't. It kind of came across as a very well thought through plan, and so it actually, you know, the whole process was fairly straightforward. So we're very proud of the partnership we have with our investors, and we have an excellent team working with us, people within the industry, both health tech and media tech. So we have a very, very strong group of people working together to bring this to life and then help a lot of these content owners and content creators to extend their reach and build new audiences.
Brunel Asset Management is the organization, and they're based in the Washington, D.C. area, Chevy Chase, Maryland, to be specific, and they facilitate this seed round capital, $10 million in funding. And here's what the portfolio manager at Brunel had to say. This is from the press release that announced this round, and I quote, "We are proud and excited to have played the role we did in funding TD Coin. The company is in front of a large secular trend and is led by highly capable people whom we trust." That's a very good endorsement, don't you think, Gustavo?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think we are sitting in a very unique position right now that we have like a state-of-the-art platform, and kudos to Marek for that. He's literally a genius. And he was able to develop it like in no time, like record time. And now like we're sitting in a position where we can bring content to people without exposing the content owner to any financial risks. Again, there's no investment, no recurrent costs. And on top of that, we're going to reward the viewers and also monetize the content. So basically, like, we're a one-stop shop for every kind of content owner TV channels to distribute their content globally, regionally, wherever they have the rights, monetizing and rewarding. And as I said, like, it's a very unique seat. So it's a state-of-the-art tech with a unique business model. That so far, no one else is doing it.
Staying with you, Gonzalo, when we're talking about a large secular trend, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a trend where we're going to continue to see all these new channels from all these independent players, many of which are being put together or targeting communities of color, whether it's African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, Native Americans, other indigenous people, et cetera, et cetera? Or are we going far beyond through all these channels that are available on smart TV sets and multi-channel bundles and so forth, as well as services that these products are creating now, and they're being channel makers as well as channel or content aggregators? Or are we going to go far beyond that in terms of, let's say, interactivity, in terms of smart home development and things like that?
Yeah, so in terms of reach, as well said, like, we're going to far beyond everything that's like the obvious. So as I said, like TV channels, traditional content owners, think about those fast platforms with like a couple of hundreds, sometimes even thousands of channels out there. Today with us, they can have their own apps, which is much easier to promote, which much better like revenue because they have the true CPM, not whatever the platform aggregator is willing to pay them. And besides that, like, you can think beyond the traditional TV channels, beyond the traditional content providers and producers, but like sports teams, like even if they don't have the rights for the matches, they produce a lot of content surrounding the players, the interviews, like the preparation, the after, which attracts like huge interest and huge audiences to watch this kind of content. So today they also can have like their own app, their own, let's call it like channel on the OTT platform. With no risk. So again, they're not tech, they don't have dev people, they don't have ad sales people, they're a sports team. And like that, we can think about like universities, high school, sports, house of worship. So basically like the reach, it's endless. Like we can really be a solution for everybody who has content today. And in terms of the devices, yeah, today we are available, like our app can be used in any of the, I'd say, main platforms, everything that's meaningful today, we are there. And of course, you're going to follow the trend. So, like, who knows what's coming tomorrow? But again, that's part of Mark's expertise to make sure that we're going to be present on everything that's going to be meaningful. We are now, and for sure, going to still be that in the future. So, whatever the smart homes and new tech are coming, of course, you're going to follow the trends and make sure the contents are going to be available for everybody, basically everywhere.
Yeah. Marek, what are you learning about viewer reaction to your rewards mechanism? It's still early, maybe in the ball game, but are you getting any takeaways, any lessons learned about how people are responding to an rewards program?
Well, we're very excited about the fact that a lot of people are signing up. A lot of them are accumulating coins and are taking advantage of the program and our partnerships. So we're very, very thrilled about that part of the business because we think it's over time as a rewards program for TV becomes more of a commonplace thing, it will grow and it will benefit our customers, obviously the viewers. So we're extremely excited about that. I want to go back, if you don't mind, to the secular trend that Gustavo mentioned a moment ago. I think all in all, that plays into this concept that there's a monumental shift going on. And that a lot of the viewers over time will obviously move to various streaming apps and streaming devices. And if you factor in the fragmentation of the marketplace, the fact that, you know, Netflix has 7%, YouTube has 7%, and these are the biggest platforms out there, we are bound to see thousands and thousands of direct-to-consumer apps over time. And this is a very, very exciting and meaningful opportunity. And it's an opportunity for the TV channels to make a name for themselves as part of the unbundling process. It's an opportunity, obviously, for us to help them in growing their business. And it's an opportunity for viewers. A lot of this content is unique. It's amazing, and it's not really widely available right now. And through this through these apps that will be launched, that will that content will become available. So all in all, it's a win-win for everybody. And this trend is only starting, and it will continue.
A few months ago, Marek, we had on this program Rewarded TV, which is a programming service which also has a reward program where they reward viewers for how often they watch a particular movie or a particular television series or a particular other type of genre programming. How close are we, or how long are we, from, let's say, having rewards-type ventures available on a national level through programming services, whether you find them on smart TV sets or smart devices or multi-channel bundles? Are we close? Do we still have a ways to go? What's your sense about this idea of reward programming or rewarding viewers for what they see or how they use television?
Television is pretty peculiar in the sense that it takes time, right? If you think about how long it took to kind of break this mold of traditional television, and only now we're seeing streaming become de facto dominant form of consumption of video, but up until recently, there's really not been that much change in television. So I think it's going to take some time for a rewards program to become commonplace nationwide. It's fairly obvious that every airline has their rewards program. A lot of in the gaming industry, there's a substantial amount of rewards programs, and they're commonplace. With television, not so much, but I think that's just a function of the way that change has been kind of just consumer habits and viewer behavior has been fairly slow to change in context of television. But that's quickly accelerating now, thanks to Netflix, thanks to Amazon and number of the other big players that are making huge changes and accelerating huge changes in customer behavior. So not a direct answer to your question, but I think it's going to happen sooner than we all expect it to.
In a moment, we'll get into the role that TV coins may play in getting an interactive era of television happening. We are speaking with two of the key executives behind TV coins. They are Chief Technology Officer Marek Kulisky, who is with us from Concord, Massachusetts, and from Miami, Chief Business Officer Gustavo Mara. And they'll be with us for a few more minutes here on Tomorrow Be Televised this half hour. So if you want to get a question or feedback in, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, coming away Monday on our program, we will have one of the kingpins of true crime television, Scott Weinberger. He's the executive producer of the popular and long-running series on Investigation Discovery, that's ID, On the Case with Paul Ozon, plus the president of Fast Rising Service World One Television, Sean Reed. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Gustavo, what role do you see TV coins having in terms of fostering an interactive service era, whether it's interactive telehealth, interactive teleeducation, interactive scripted content, interactive games? We now have Samsung and LG have game hubs now. NVIDIA Shield, I believe, has a game hub too. What's the sense of interactive TV and the role it will play with TV coins?
So, for us, like, our business to monetize and distribute video. And our customers are actually the one like using this tool to create this kind of interactivity. So, for instance, we're about to launch a couple of universities that's going to use our platform to distribute again, classes, online classes, through an OTT platform. So it's a one-way class, but it could be linked to their use of this information back to the university portal, et cetera. So, again, for us, we treat content like as premium content from everybody from into everywhere. So, and again, it's streaming, it's OTT, it's everywhere, it's bidirectional. So it's a tool, it's an extremely powerful tool for the content owners, content producers to reach out to their target audience. Again, no matter if it's a traditional TV viewer or a student consuming remote classes through an OTT service.
Mm-hmm. And that final question to you, Roku is now involved in a project to do shoppable ads through the television set with Walmart, one of this nation's largest retailers, other people as well, where you're watching a commercial, if you want to order a product or service while you're watching a commercial from that supplier, all you have to do is use your voice remote, to say, I want to order the product. And you do it without a smartphone, you do it without a tablet, you do it without using a QR code, you use their payment system, and voila, the order is done. Do you see TV coins having a role in fostering a shoppable ad environment, which could, in fact, help fund some of the networks, some of the services that you're working with?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's an amazing and very, very exciting opportunity for any one of our customers to be able to not only tap into this incremental revenue stream that's the result of the monetization that we do, selling of the ads, but also add on top any shopping revenue through directly through the TV set, so to speak, and any such innovation in the TV space requires investment, and think, well, what's unique about us and makes us different is the fact that we apply this innovation to the products that we later offer to our customers with no upfront investment. So effectively, they will be able to take advantage of this innovation for free. I'm sure over time we will be looking at trials, field trials of this type of technology and interactivity in general that will later become available to all of our customers.
If you want to know more about TV Coins and the chroming services it's attempting to get off the ground, as well as this very unique reward system that is encouraging people like you to watch these services off the bat and others to come, here's where you go online, www.tvcoins.com. That's www.tvcoins.com, www.tvcoins.com. And we'll be staying in touch with this enterprise, and if they have any new networks that are plumbing services that they will be debuting here in the United States, we will invite them to have the people behind those services to come on this program. Marek Kulczewski, Gustavo Mara, thank you both very much for coming on. It's been a fantastic half hour with both of you. Congratulations on forming this enterprise, on the $10 million in seed funding recently, and I have a hunch that sooner rather than later we would love to have you back, and we will.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here with you.
You're very, very welcome. Both of you, take care. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks. Thank likewise. You. Bye-bye.
Marek Kulczewski joining us live from Concord, Massachusetts, and Gustavo Mara joining us live from Miami, Florida. They are the Chief Technology and Chief Business Officer, respectively, of TV Coins. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced the question this past Monday, and we're still waiting for a winner. And if you are first with the correct answer by email, you get three prizes. We've got the Nickelodeon Loud House Christmas card set, great for the holiday season ahead. Plus, we have two best-selling books, The Unexpected Danny Green by Paul Friedman and Flirting with Fame by the noted entertainment public relations guru Dan Harari. Both Paul and Dan were both on recent episodes of our show, both books bestsellers. And all three of these prizes can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Who composed and performed the theme song to Chico and the Man? Who composed and performed the theme song, Chico and the Man, which was an NBC comedy series that ran a bunch of seasons in the 1970s, starring the late, great comedian and actor Freddie Prinze and the late, great actor Jack Albertson. One more time, who composed and performed the theme song to Chico and the Man? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you are first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question first part of the Saturday weekend at two places, Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. 1 hour of New Ventures down, one more to go ahead, and we're happy you're with us. And if you have people coming in at the top of the hour, have them tune in because we got two more very unique New Ventures coming your way. And we invite you to be part of the program, interact with our guests, and yours truly. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later this hour ahead, we will speak to one of the key people at FanDuel. Believe it or not, they're now a TV player with taking TVG, the former All Horse Racing Network, and making it FanDuel TV. And they have a plus service also on the way, FanDuel Plus. You'll meet Senior Vice President of Television at FanDuel, Kevin Grigsby. He will join the slide from Los Angeles. But first, you'll meet an entrepreneur who's had a lot of interesting roles in his life, and his new role is making new networks happen, including a single sports service known as the Handball Channel. His name is Jack Moratti. We'll meet him here in New York, and he'll be joined by one of the kingpins of the handball scene, Paul Williams. He's a Hall of Fame inductee, one of the Babe Ruth, Derek Jeter of the sport, and they'll both join us from New York after we pause the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month. Check out Football Weekend. It'll get you up to speed on what's going on in week 3 of the college football scene and week 2 of the NFL on Sunday. That's Football Weekend tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best be charged 24/7 always at youtube.com, now available more than ever before on smart TV sets and devices. Welcome to the second hour of this two-hour Friday edition of Tawabi Televised, the promo about TV's current and future, and welcome to those just joining us at the top of the hour. Tom and I'm with you live from New York, 74 degrees and beautiful sunny skies at the top of the hour. Hope you're getting ready for a fantastic weekend, weather-wise and also culture and people-wise. This is the second hour of what we're calling our new venture episode, where all of our guests are involved with a brand new venture. We have two more coming your way in the course of the hour, and we invite you to be involved. Interact with our guests. How? You pick up the phone and you dial this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us, across the country or around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. We've got a chat room also available for you, so we want to hear you get going in it. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, you can also interact with others and us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Let's be live with you. We are living in an age of single sports networks, networks devoted entirely 24-7 to baseball, football, hockey, basketball, soccer, et cetera, et cetera. Well, my next guest is an entrepreneur who is trying to launch a whole bunch of channels with his organization known as UMR Media Channels Group, also known as H2O. And one of those channels he wants to do is called the Handball Channel. Joining us live here in New York is entrepreneur Jack Mariotti. Jack, welcome in.
Hey, Simon, how are you? This is Jack Mariotti, and I'm the chairman of H2O, the streaming channel, and partner Michael Wiles also is the he runs the UB the new state. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh yes. Well, Michael runs the Urban Music Record channel, and we have been at it for a little bit of time. The H2O channel is brand new relative to what has been going on with our network. We have 34 channels, so we're an aggregator of substance, and we've been around the corner probably about 2.5 years. We have been a streaming channels, and of course there's been a lot of talk about the cutting the cord with a lot of the things that are going on. I was over at the, as you mentioned, the TV New York this past couple of weeks, and the streaming networks are now at the point where they're 55% of all viewing. And it is really interesting that at the beginning of the year, we had a number of 37% was the number of all viewing, TV viewing. So we can see that there's certainly the kind of new viewers that are coming to the streaming network that we really need to talk about. And our 34 channels have been put in place to give a niche marketing solution to this aggregation. We have put together this new channel, which is the handball channel, which comes, of course, the interesting thing is we have learned that ESPN started their channels with it's a handball channel, but it was also a stickball channel. So we know the precedent for this kind of channel. And we talk about it in a few minutes. Paul Williams will be able to tell you a little bit more about it. But just a short sequence on what we have done. We have a entertainment. UBS is the entertainment side of our business. And we have mostly about 15 entertainment channels. But we broadened our reach because we really feel that the niche marketing area has to occur. So that we provide, content from a child's channel talking about books on the channel itself to streaming channels that are food, delicious, our food channel. We also have a travel channel, which we call, Scram. But we bring all of these niche channels to the aggregation, which is what we believe is the evolution of the business. And at this point, the travel channel is a big one. We see a lot of advertisers coming our way. We have our channels are found on Roku, of course, Apple TV, and Verizon. Verizon is our technology partner. We actually have the CTVs, our probably around 194 countries, and over 200 million people are CTV related. So with that background, we had kind of a need to go into the sports arena, and there's not much out there that isn't taken, as people do know. I watched lacrosse the other day and was quite surprised that there's a good given lacrosse channel. But we decided that we had access to a chap who's, you'll hear in a moment, Paul Williams, who's been at this for several years. And we put together a channel that is really giving the background and includes some of the championships that are being held around the New York area and other countries. Surprisingly to me, I didn't realize how big the sport was in several countries. And Paul will tell you a little bit more about that. Well, you know, it goes back to the size of the ball and the wall. So it's a very simple, and probably goes back to the Incas very many years ago as to the original ball in a wall challenge. But I'm going to put Paul on and ask him to tell you a little bit more about what we offer in the channel.
All righty, Jack Murphy, thank you very much. And we want to get into some of the other channels, some of the ones you talked about, some others that you have as part of your group. But let's introduce our second guest that you brought along. He is considered probably the Babe Ruth of the sport of handball. He is a Hall of Fame inductee. He's an executive with some of the groups that are promoting handball in the United States and beyond. It's a pleasure to welcome this program, Paul Williams. Paul, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming through
Hello,
loud
Simon.
And clear. Paul, what do you say to people
okay.
who might be listening to what Jack just said, like, well, really, I mean, is handball that big that you can do a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week channel around it?
I believe so, and we're doing it. You know, I've been playing handball for 50 years, and throughout those 50 years, you know, I mean, as a handball player, as an administrator, I've seen the growth in the sport. You know, in some areas it has declined because of the number of players, because it's not the easiest sport to play, but in other areas and around the world, it's been growing because it's an inexpensive sport, it's very challenging, and, you know, you can play it for – like, I've been playing for 50 years, and I'm still playing twice a week, so I enjoy it.
And, Paul, I understand that you are doing a original series for the service. Is what you're doing not only covering handball, but also team handball, which is an Olympic sport, and also there is a sort of offshoot that combines handball with volleyball called spikeball, which is where you have the contestants around a trampoline-type object, where you hit the ball, you serve the ball into the object goes, it's like volleyball, you have it's like two members of two people on a team, and the other team has to, you know, serve, set up the ball like volleyball and then spike it again into the object, and then it bounces off, and whoever doesn't come through, you know, doesn't get, you know, loses the point.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with spike ball, and that is a game that a lot of us handball players do play at times. I haven't really played it. But, you know, and I'm very familiar with team handball in Europe. That's part of the Olympics. I'm a purist. You know, our handball is wall handball, which includes one wall, three wall, and four wall. And in Europe, they call it wall ball because they're trying to get it into the Olympics. You know, the old timers call it handball. The new generation calls it wall ball. And, you know, on the handball channel, you know, my series that I have, which is called All Things Handball, is focused on all the forms of wall handball. That's one, three, and four-wall handball using various types of balls, getting profiles and stories of the champions that played all three of them, different generations and different cultures throughout the world.
The Handball Channel, one of the newest single-sport channels around and channels overall around, that is the topic of this half hour tomorrow. Be televised as part of a whole empire of new services that our guests, entrepreneur Jack Murphy, is joining us in Brooklyn to talk about, and he's also joined by handball champion Hall of Fame inductee Paul Williams. They're both with us live from Brooklyn, New York, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tonight with you live from New York on this new venture edition of the Promo About TV's Current and Future. Happy to have you with us. If you have a call for or a question or comprehensive guest, make that call, 646-652-2906. or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on 12 Be Televised, that's 1 week from today, we'll talk about another service that's doing a new children's channel. And it's, the company's called Blogbox. It's a very interesting venture. You'll hear Partnership Director Ann McMichael will be with us. And we'll also have the TV reporter for the popular entertainment website, The Wrap, Natalie Oganiskin. And we'll talk to her about what's coming up in TV the rest of this year and beyond, maybe some post-Emmy Award thoughts and more. That's all coming up a week from today, right here, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, on Tomorrow Week Televised. Jack, given the fact that handball doesn't get a lot of coverage on the broadcast networks, and even ESPN or Fox Sports, et cetera, apart from, let's say, Olympic coverage of the Summer Olympic Games, where team handball is a sport, how are you getting the coverage? How are you getting the footage? How is it being packaged?
Well, there are several different things that we've discovered as we kind of did the deep dive into the handball area. And, you know, Paul has been very instrumental in giving us access to some of the old, you know, handballers, which is where we have found that there's a lot of film out there. A lot of people are very proud of their undertakings, and there are indeed people who are fabled within the industry, they would call it, if you will. They have four or five names that are only first name, like Babe Ruth, Babe. There'd be Jimmy, there'd be Dean. They seem to just have, you know, like one name. Heroes from the sport that goes back many years and probably around the early part of the 1900s. So we found a lot of old footage that had been available through Paul's contacts and working and being out there on the handball courts, which is pretty hot in New York City, as you know. But the idea of making the sport more of a tradition, in a sense, is something that we're really putting into the programming, and we're looking for the content that does that reminds people of their heritage. And it actually served as a way many, many years ago when some of the immigrants came to the United States. Everybody had to have a sport. Well, if you didn't have a baseball glove, you could have a pink little ball, and there's a wall somewhere. So it became a really easy access for a lot of people in the immigration area to get into this sport. So it did have all this historical background that nobody really talked about because it was just a lively and living sport. You go down to Coney Island today and you'll find six or eight walls that are surrounded by people yelling and screaming, and it is one of the fastest games in the world, which a lot of people don't know about. And our goal is to take this very regimented, and indeed that there is a very serious rule book that goes into handball, which I'd forgotten. I thought it was just kind of a, you know, hit the ball up and hit it again. But there are many people who are the umpires who are very strict about the game itself. So we're out to make it more of a rule-riddled kind of a sport, and that's part of what we're doing. Now, how do we get people interested in it? Well, it's by putting them into our aggregate of the kind of channels that we have, the people coming into our hub, and then, you know, influencing them to go in and take a look. And we're going to be out there with teasers to talk about across the board on all of our 33 other channels, a lot of teasers getting people to try the handball channel. We group, you know, the primary viewers of television and radio are people who follow sports. So we just felt we also needed a sports channel because it enhances our group of channels, which we have found makes us much more of an interesting buy for media houses. And, of course, if you were at the function on Monday or Tuesday, you see what's going on in terms of, aggregating people who are interested in making a total media buy, not just, you know, one small channel here or there or in a local market. The media buying people would like to put together a conglomerate of channels. So we have the niche marketing channels that I say just fill the bill from below the radar, which is entertainment channel, to, you know, a la mode, which is sports and everything else all rolled into one, and delicious and scram and story time for children. We do have an Afro television network as well. So we're trying to cross, sell the channel itself to our viewers, and I think broaden the reach for this very exciting game.
Incidentally, Spiritual Sports Radio just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming in. If you have any question or comment, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Paul, is the service able to get footage of, let's say, more recent handball tournaments, team handball tournaments, spikeball, et cetera?
Spikeball and team handball is not the direction that we're going, at least not now. But the championships that we have, because we have state, city, Eastern Regional tournaments, national tournaments, and world championship tournaments every 3 years, and the national tournaments every year. So we have a lot of footage of top professional events, and there's also pro tours in the Midwest that, you know, we have access to that content. So more recent games and championships for 2022, we've been putting onto the channel. Everything coming up in 2023, we have a whole calendar of events of championships that are, you know, different genres of handball, whether it's a small ball or a big ball or it's a wall ball. You know, those championships that's in the city and those championships that's going around the country, as well as some that's on the European scene, are all going to be hopefully added to the Handball Channel's collection of media.
Mm-hmm. Paul, there are a number of what some might call second-tier sports that are now trying to establish themselves to fans through professional sports leagues. You have, for example, in the area of lacrosse, Outdoors PLL, which is going to have its finale this weekend. I believe it's either on ABC or ESPN. It was formerly on NBC. You have Major League Rugby. You have National Indoor Lacrosse or the National Lacrosse League. You have women's, I believe there's a professional women's lacrosse league, and I believe there's a professional women's rugby league. Is there anything like that being planned either for handball, team handball, or spikeball, the idea of a national sports league where you have teams representing different cities?
Well, we have currently right now, there is a group, World Pro Handball, that does have events that have players that are playing on a pro level, and they are recruiting players from different parts of the country representing their states, as well as the United States Handball Association. United States Handball Association have players from, you know, all 50 states, and they have those national championships where usually the players are representing their state or their town, and then they go off to the world representing their state and the country. So it's something similar like that, and if we get more, as the Handball Channel grows and we get more participation and more visibility, I'm sure we'll be able to get something down, broken down to, like, cities also.
Paul, we might mention that internationally where we have coverage because of our streaming network, basically in 194 countries, that you have actually Colombia, France. I heard you speak about your sites for championships as well.
And that's, you know, that's the beauty of the Handball Channel, because this gives an opportunity for the world to see. You know, most people think handball is just like in New York City for the most part, you know, and it's far from the truth. And so with our visibility in 194 countries, you know, there are tournaments in Colombia, there's tournaments in Cuba, tournaments in England, Ireland, Wales, you know, Belgium, the Netherlands, Canada. You know, we have tournaments all over, you know, that are annual events, and we're going to be, you know, going after footage from those events.
The Handball Channel, as parent organizations, UMR Channels Group Media and H2O, they're the topic of this half hour of our new Ventures edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm Abbaum here in New York, and I'm joined here in the Big Apple by Jack Marafi. He's the chief executive of Handball Channel and its parent organizations. And also we have National Handball Champion Hall of Fame inductee Paul Williams. And they're both with us this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we want to hear from you. Give us that call or use our chat room. The phone number you use is 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up in our final half hour, in case you don't know, FanDuel is now a TV player. How? They've taken over TVG, the former All Host Racing Network, and now they have become FanDuel TV, and they also have a plus service as well. We'll be joined after the bottom of the hour by the Senior Vice President of TV at FanDuel, Kevin Grigsby, and he'll join us live from Los Angeles. So stay tuned, and again, be involved interactively either by phone or chat room. Jack, talk about your background and why you decided I'm going to be an entrepreneur and help get new channels off the ground.
I've been in the advertising business, and of course, that everybody in the advertising business really wants to be an entrepreneur because you see your clients doing the act around you. And as somebody once said, kind of like a eunuch in a harem, you see the trick being done every day around you, and you're really mad you can't do it. So I think it's having seen and having made a lot of clients a lot of money through the advertising business, and I was with I wound up with Saatchi & Saatchi, which is the world's largest ad agency, handling a lot of Procter & Gamble and many of the brands that you all know, as well as having been in the travel business. So I think the idea of being an entrepreneur in this region had a lot to do with the media side of the business, because I have a partner who has a music background, Michael Wiles, who had been with this streaming idea for some time. And Michael is a music guy who has, you know, the ability to get good content for us. And that is the substance of the UMR part of our channel. We do have a whole entertainment profile with a lot of core cohorts in the YouTube area. So when we got together, we talked about extending and building on that as a core product, which is the entertainment side of the business, which he knows very well. So we sat down and said, what should we add to build and to extend our reach into some of these other areas where, of course, there are advertising. We're advertising supported. And we looked at, literally sat down and said, who are the advertisers? And who would they be interested in advertising on what type of programming, what content? So we built a broad breadth of products that would attract advertisers, and that was at the heart of the essential product, from Seasoned Citizens to, which we talked about is an old AARP channel, to the Affluent Traveler, which is a high-end program for deluxe travel, which I had the good fortune to found the magazine of the same name, and it's still on the newsstands. Mm-hmm. But all these things meant that we would be able to attract advertisers. So I think that's in the core reason we came into this area.
Who, by the way, is doing these other channels besides the hemp? Are these independent entrepreneurs like yourselves that are based here in the United States or overseas? And since the announcement of the handball channel in particular earlier this month, are you getting proposals for other services that would like to be part of your empire?
The first part of the answer is we are doing it in-house. We have a production studio that we do have available, with sometimes allowing us to pitch for other business, but essentially we have a 24-hour channel need, so we're quite busy filling content on our own. There are a couple of other, on the entertainment side, the videos come in to us from associates and people that we deal with on that level. But virtually every one of these channels, aside from the 24-hour global news channel, which is run by another company who we work with closely, they're all in our purview. We put them together, and as they say, we have a studio in New York, and that's what we spend a lot of time doing.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned NYC Television Week. You were there. I was there for a good chunk of it, particularly this past Tuesday with the Next TV Summit and this past Wednesday with the Hispanic TV Summit. And one of the takeaways from – two of the takeaways from these events, one was we're going to see more of these services because people are really switching their allegiances from broadcasting cable networks to these mega content services or fast channels, and many more of them are doing original content. The other thing is you're getting a sense that interactivity is going to play a major role. We are in an interactive era. We're already seeing interactive telehealth, interactive educational services, and now we're starting to see the possibility of interactive content services, especially with interactive advertising and maybe shoppable TV opportunities, such as what Roku is doing with Walmart, such as NBCU is trying to do with Checkout. What do you think about interactivity and shoppable ads, and at some point will they figure into what you do with channels you create, with the channels you currently have on, or what you'll do in the future?
The I think the one seminar that was held at the meeting talked about, linear television dead, and that seemed to be the consensus that it wasn't. The second part of it was, is cable dead? Well, everybody is cutting the cord, and indeed it is going to, and I heard the Roku guy said, there will all be, all television will be on the streaming platforms in the future. And pretty wild suggestion. I mean, everybody talked about it being the wild, wild west at the moment because of the Nielsen measurement company having gone to belly up, if you will, and there is no measurement device for the channels that we have, or all of our channels, or anybody's channels in the streaming world. So how does an advertiser objectively go into this arena, first of all? So they're going to be looking for, I think they're really going to be looking for involvement. Which channels have involvement with their viewers? How deep are you going to build the relationship so that you're going to keep those viewers sticky to your channels? And I think that's one of the things that will happen in the future. And if you talked about these chaps who are doing incentive programs, that may be a growing occasion, because when I was working with the Procter & Gamble company some time ago, they bought a television station down in the South, and were experimenting with exactly that. This is some years ago, and it didn't quite work out, but they got a little background in this area to make sure that when the ad runs, you can put up your QR and you can find out where it's being sold in your neighborhood, and there's a deal, and here's a coupon, and you can go to your computer and you can print it out. City, I think, is finally coming to fore because of the breakaway of all these streaming channels like ours, where, there are thousands of them at the moment, and somebody has to come to the fore, just as, in the linear television nation, somebody came to the fore, and there are three or four major players, and obviously it's money related. But I think that this is going to be, I think, a more and more decision-making process for the advertising world, which is where I had come out of it originally.
Mm-hmm. Jack, before you go and Paul goes, are there any other channels that you'll be launching through your enterprise between now and the end of the year or plan for 2023?
We're looking at Polo. we have a couple of a murder mystery channel that we want to get underway because we think there's a lot of synergies that we have between our channels and we can take, for example, 100 Best Murder Mysteries, which we're getting the okay from. We're trying to get them through an attorney. Couple of other categories, but at this moment, we're just trying to, as we say, build this wonderful handball channel because we think it has great legs and will attract a lot of interest and action and advertisers and the company itself. We're looking for, we believe we have everything in need that everybody is going for these days. We are whitelisted, so it's only 2% of the streaming channels seem to be whitelisted. So our advertisers are, American Express and Morgan Guaranty Bank and any of the major terrific advertising you see on all of the linear channels, because it's a good we're approved. So we have a lot of things that would be of interest to somebody to – we're looking for a marketing partner to perhaps extend our reach and take and blow out the channel to a larger audience, and that's one of our objectives.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to know more about the Handball Channel and the other 32 services that are happening under the banner of UMR Channels Group Media, or H2O, here's where you go online, urbanmusicreport.com. It's urbanmusicreport.com. Jack Marappi, Paul Williams, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on getting all these services off the ground. And hopefully we will be hearing a lot more in the weeks and months to come, not only about the Handball Channel, but also about other services that you'll be doing. By the way, just remind you that the Handball Channel will be available, or still be available, on Roku, Apple TV, and other smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Jack and Paul, again, congratulations, and again, all the very best to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome, Jack and Paul. Enjoy the weekend. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right. Jack Marappi and Paul Williams both joining us from New York. And when we come back, have you heard? FanDuel is now a TV player, and we'll have the person in charge of FanDuel's TV activities, which now includes turning TVG, the former All Horse Racing Channel, into FanDuel TV. And that's just the start. So join us live from Los Angeles after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogofray.com, streaming.com, tinted.com. Together, reaching over 70 main listeners around the world every month. And growing. The Tony Dallin Show is coming your way. It's very unexpected radio. You'll find it tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:10 Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of what has turned out to be an amazing new venture edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Sound on the with you live from New Web, New York. Happy you're along for the ride. We've got one more new venture to talk about, and we invite you to be part of the program. Just give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. By now, probably the world knows that FanDuel is one of the leaders in terms of the arena of sports gaming and much, much more. And now they are involved with television. Earlier this month, they turned TVG, which has been around for decades as an all-horse racing network, into FanDuel TV. And they're also getting ready to start a plus service known as FanDuel Plus. Joining us live from Los Angeles, an Inner Radio exclusive, the Senior Vice President of Television at FanDuel, Kevin Grigsby. Kevin, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. So talk about how you converted TVG into FanDuel TV.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Essentially, we saw a big sort of white space in the gaming content world in which we didn't see a landing spot for gambling content in the U.S. And as you and your audience knows, sports betting has now been legalized here in the U.S. as of a couple of years ago. It started to scale state by state, legal in 17 states now. And we found that there was an opportunity for us to rebrand our national horse racing television network, TVG, into FanDuel TV. We did that flip September 1st, a couple of weeks ago. We've diversified our programming wheel to include sports betting content alongside our world-class horse racing coverage.
How long has FanDuel thought about making a huge move into television?
Well, when FanDuel and our parent company, Flutter, which owns, still owns TVG, when we connected in 2018, part of the connection was us getting into the content space together. And so we've been talking about this since 2018 when FanDuel and Flutter and TVG all came under one umbrella here in the U.S. Conversations in 2018 and 19, they were light, aspirational at the time. I would say that my pitch and strategy for the network, TVG to become FanDuel TV, probably wasn't as sharp as it needed to be back then. But we pitched the brand flip to FanDuel TV in 2020 in January. And as you know, the pandemic hit. We thought it was a good idea at the time, but then we decided to put a pause on that. When sports canceled all over the world, horse racing was one of the few sports that continued to run. Our betting business with horse racing thrived. In fact, it doubled during the pandemic. And it doubled by way of us keeping our television network on the air with horse racing from all over the world. And given that, I guess, the TVG brand and our horse racing business was in the process of doubling, we put a pause on FanDuel TV at that time. But once we came out of the pandemic, we dusted off that strategy and that suggestion, and essentially we've spent the last year working on it. And as of about 15 days ago, it's come to life.
Mm-hmm. As you know, a lot of different networks on both the national and the regional level have taken on betting shows or devoting some of their schedule to, like, expanded sports betting programming. What is FanDuel TV designed to do that others are not doing in this space?
Well, first and foremost, what we're doing versus what the regional sports networks are doing, by the way, we happen to be working with a lot of those regional sports networks. While FanDuel TV, formerly TVG, is a nationally distributed television network, we're on linear, cable, satellite, streaming services like Hulu, YouTube, TV, DirecTV Stream, and Fubo. We also have our over-the-top product, which you mentioned as well, and FanDuel Plus. We actually simulcast our live programming over 5,000 hours a year on regional sports networks, specifically NBC regional sports networks like NBC Philly, NBC Chicago, a couple of NBC sports regionals here in California. We're on MSG in New York, your neighborhood, Simon. We're also on Mid-Atlantic Sports Network in the D.C. area, Altitude as well. So when you ask me, like, what we're doing different than those regional sports networks, well, first of all, there's 5,000 hours a year that's being simulcast on those regional sports networks with what our programming is doing now already. That's first and foremost. But to answer your question, what we do differently is we're very transactional in our programming. We base our programming model for our customers. We have the biggest customer database in the sports gaming world. And essentially, we are programming our content for them. It sort of incites them to pay attention as to what's going on from a betting perspective. It gets their attention. It gives them confidence to jump in and bet on things maybe they weren't going to bet on initially. We engage them in ways that we know how to engage our betting customer because of the institutional knowledge we have and our touch point with those customers. So I would say we go a little bit into a deeper dive in regards to our programming philosophy and our content creation with people that are actually gambling at home versus the regional sports networks might be using it as just sort of an entertainment platform.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, it looks like when it comes to your new original content, it's personality driven. You've picked up, for example, Kay Adams, who was one of the personalities of the NFL Network's Good Morning Football show, Pat McAfee, and his podcast gang are producing original content for you. Bill Simmons, formerly with HBO, his Ringer Network is doing stuff for you. And Lisa Curry, the former SportsCenter anchor person, is also doing her own show called More Ways to Win. What is the idea behind these programs, and how do you want, let's say, the attitude, the overall attitude of these programs to be going from one to the other?
Love the question. Listen, the attitude that we have internally here when it comes to all the content that we create, we have a very specific tone of voice that we feel that aligns with our brand at FanDuel. We like to say that we have swagger. We're not cocky. We're not overly confident, but we just have a swagger about how we go about doing our content. And we also want to have fun. We know that people are using gambling as a form of entertainment, and for them to just sort of take that extra step in the viewing experience they have with what they're betting on. And then lastly, there's a tone that involves what those personalities that you mentioned, like Pat and like Lisa Kearney and like Kay Adams. Look, essentially, we want them to help lower the entry point into sports betting. We want them to invite people into their ecosystem, into their orbit. They could, you know, people can put their guard down. The connotation that's attached to sports betting, it's not readily accepted here in the U.S. like it's accepted in other parts of the world, like Australia and Europe. And essentially, we just want them to invite audience into our world and to have them realize this is fun, this is legal, this is something that we do. And we invite you to have fun with us as we go about this on our journey with us.
Mm-hmm. FanDuel TV, formerly TVG, the All Host Racing Network, is running on smart TV sets, smart device, as well as on cable and satellite linear channel. We're talking with Kevin Grigsby. He is the Senior Vice President of Television at FanDuel. He's also the Content Executive Producer at FanDuel TV. And in a moment, we'll talk about FanDuel Plus and how similar different that is from this particular channel and what is to come from both, including the possibility of interactive sports betting for your television set and more. Kevin joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And wherever you're joining us from around the country, around the world, we're happy to have you here on this Friday afternoon. Simon Abbott with you from New York, 76 degrees. Beautiful sunny skies throughout this afternoon, going to a brilliant weekend. We hear it's going to be 8 degrees on Saturday and about 85, 86 on Sunday. And humidity is not going to be around, which is all good for all of us. If you have a question or comment for Kevin, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode is Monday at our regular hour, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Joining us as our lead guest will be Scott Weinberger. He's one of the masters of primetime television, one of his programs through his own company, the long-running investigation discovery series On the Case with Paul Azan, where he serves as executive producer. And we'll also have, from another news service, World One Television President Sean Reed. They have a very interesting situation they're doing to try to encourage more original series and movies involving African-American talent and other communities of color, too. That's coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Is there certain day parts where, for example, you will focus on the information programming versus horse racing or other sports?
Yes, there is, and it's purposefully done. The shoulder programming or the high profile personalities that you mentioned, the Lisa Kearney with More Ways to Win, the Pat McAfee, the Bill Simmons with The Ringer, Kay Adams and her phenomenal show Up and Adams, that is going to be content that we like to start the day with. That's something that we want people to wake up to and grab their breakfast and grab their cup of coffee or listen to on their commute into work. That's something that from an East Coast standard time perspective is either 8 or 9 in the morning till about noon on the East Coast. And then from noon Eastern till I would say about 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, we focus on horse racing. It's a phenomenal share of voice opportunity for us with the sport of horse racing. There's not regular mainstream sports playing throughout the day. Horse racing provides us that opportunity to show live sports that people can bet on from home. It's actually a very viable business for us, one that we've built over the last 23 years. Our customers at current bet about $3 billion a year through our horse racing betting app. And that's going to grow as FanDuel TV continues to scale. So we find that horse racing televised in the middle of the day is a phenomenal opportunity for us, one that none of our competitors have entered into yet. And so from a programming perspective, we find that there's an opportunity for us to do that high-profile stuff in the morning, and then when racing starts, show racing throughout the day. And then when your mainstream sports start, later in the evening, 5, 6, 7 o'clock local time, whether it's Major League Baseball or NBA or even those NFL Thursday night and Monday night and Sunday night games play. Like, look, we diversify our programming just a little bit, but we realize that our customer base is consuming those mainstream sports on other television networks, and that's where we like to test and learn and for us to sort of diversify our programming beyond horse racing, beyond the sports betting talk shows. That's where we're going to be showing international basketball or international soccer, rights that we have acquired as part of this FanDuel TV venture.
As I was mentioning with our previous guests, Jack Marathi and Paul Williams, do you see a role for, let's say, sports like lacrosse or handball or rugby, whether it's rugby with a full team or rugby sevens, which NBC has been showing through USA and Peacock and so forth the last couple of weeks? Do you see a role for some of those, what some might call second-tier sports, or things like pickleball and spikeball and so forth?
Yeah, we do. We think there's a phenomenal opportunity for us to have those sports enter into our content ecosystem. I will tell you, first and foremost, it has to be an event that we take wagers on, that we take bets on. That we have so much content that's available to us that our customers already bet on, that there's markets that have developed here in the U.S. that are within the FanDuel Sportsbook that people can bet on. So I heard you talking to your previous guest about spikeball. I've watched spikeball. I know what spikeball is. There's not betting markets available for any betting customers in the U.S. yet on spikeball. When there is, Yes, that is something that we will look at as being a part of our content offering. I'll tell you, the national linear television network that is FanDuel TV, you know, look, it's a single program. You know, there's only 60 minutes in an hour. So I can't quite see, you know, something like Spikeball, you know, breaking into FanDuel TV's programming wheel, at least, you know, in current times. But as you alluded, FanDuel Plus, the over-the-top platform, that's a phenomenal landing spot for long-tail sports like that that people can watch on and bet through their phone. The over-the-top platform is something that is really allowing us to stretch our legs from a content offering perspective.
Before we go back to where you're at with sports betting and the role of interactive TV, now that we are sort of in this interactive era or really getting into it in a major way, explain what the difference is between FanDuel TV and FanDuel Plus. What will FanDuel Plus do that FanDuel TV will not do?
Okay, so from a programming perspective, FanDuel TV is our national distributed television network, and it has the high-profile stuff on there. It has the big personalities, has the major racing that we have rights to, the best racing in the country, and at times some of the best racing in the world. FanDuel Plus is a platform that has essentially it has an infinite amount of channels and allows us to air, you know, a dozen things at the same time. You can go to FanDuel Plus, which is available on Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV connected devices. You can download the FanDuel Plus app. And essentially, we have a myriad number of channels there that are available for you to watch live. It includes FanDuel TV, the national network. It includes a channel called FanDuel Racing, which is 24/7 dedicated to racing from around the world. There's a third channel that is dedicated to what is a sportsbook-looking racing channel, a fourth channel that has FanDuel Odds display, and then we have ad hoc channels in there, and that's where when you talk about, oh, if there's a handball event, the World Championships of Handball, if there's a pickleball event that is happening at a certain time, that it just doesn't allow us to put it on FanDuel TV, but we want to be able to have our customers to be able to watch it at home and bet on it at home, they can go to FanDuel Plus and choose the handball channel or choose the pickleball channel to turn around and actually watch that event live as they watch and wager from home.
Kevin, when TVG started way back when, it was one of the first channels where you could bet on horse racing using your phone. Now you have apps, and we now are in an environment where a very big chunk of smart TV sets and smart TV devices now give you the ability to use or watch the television set with your voice or a voice remote because they have artificial intelligence like Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, and so on and so forth, built into the set or the device like Roku or Chromecast or NVIDIA Shield and so forth, which allows you to use your voice or your voice in a remote kind of way. Where are we at in terms of FanDuel adopting that as a way to place bets or ultimately order products and services through the TV set without having to use a smartphone, without using a tablet or QR code and so on?
Yeah, so look, it's something that is – that's being kicked around and talked about. We are a very innovative tech company. We want to go where our customers are, and we want to provide them services that they expect to have, that they have in the mainstream world. I will tell you that it's hard. It's very difficult, given the regulations of sports betting and gaming in the U.S. We take very seriously, you know, the rules and regulations that each state is sort of enforces us to ensure that only customers and viewers in regulated and legal states can place those wagers. So there's added complexity to doing things like you described, whether it's voice betting, whether it's betting through an OTT app or betting through your TV. It's just hard. It's very difficult. I will tell you that we do have aspirations of doing it. Currently, the FanDuel Plus OTT app that we've talked about, it's very personalized in that you actually can log in and watch for free using your FanDuel account number, whether it's FanDuel Sportsbook, FanDuel Daily Fantasy, FanDuel Casino, or even TVG, horse racing betting account. You can log in and you can watch programming within the FanDuel app while seeing your horse racing bets be displayed next to the viewing experience. So we have taken a step at integrating the betting experience into the viewing experience. Albeit that's a very small baby step, and the aspirations that you have, Simon, with your question, it is something where I turn around and say, like, I'm building the FanDuel app, and I look at our chief product officer on the FanDuel side, and I say, do you want to integrate FanDuel Plus into the FanDuel Sportsbook, or do we want to integrate the FanDuel Sportsbook into FanDuel Plus? Both of us look at each other and say, wow, that sounds like a really big project. That's probably a couple years away. But we are having conversations about that. No promises that it comes to fruition anytime soon. But we are a company that takes that seriously, and it's a great idea, and I'm glad you asked the question.
Yeah. You're very welcome, Kevin. What about gamification in some manner as a stepping stone to full-throated interactive sports betting? You hear talk about that, the idea of, you know, playing a game like, you know, pick the who's going to be the, you know, how many, you know, points a team will score in the fourth quarter of this particular football game or baseball game, whatever. And also, you also have the opportunity of video games. We have game hubs now on the part of Samsung and LG, where you can use your voice or a voice remote or a special controller aimed at the TV set to control what how you play. You don't need a big console like of Xbox or a PlayStation or so on.
Yeah, look, I think there's two questions, though. Let me address the first in regards to gamification. First and foremost, the FanDuel Sportsbook, which is legal in 17 states and growing, by the way, with two or three more hopefully coming here in the next few months, we have more betting opportunities on the FanDuel Sportsbook than any other sportsbook in the U.S. We pride ourselves on the markets that we make and the markets that we offer. Our customers can turn around and they can bet, like you said, how many points are going to be scored in the fourth quarter, how many touchdowns someone is going to score, how many passing yards someone is going to have at the end of the game. With traditional bets as well, whether it's just picking the winner of the game or picking a winner by way of the spread or how many points are going to be scored, we have just dozens and dozens of offerings in each and every game that will just blow your mind in regards to how many betting offerings we have, more so than any other competitor out there. We pride ourselves with that. And then to your second question, just again, the innovations that we try to be on top of and try to lead in the gaming space here in the U.S., we have a phenomenal relationship with our parent company, Flutter, which operates Paddy Power in Ireland, Betfair in England, Sportsbet business down in Australia. We are connected at the hip from an organizational standpoint when it comes to technology. And those are very mature, very advanced, very innovative geographical locations from a betting perspective. They've been around for years. We have the opportunity to get those great ideas from those other companies in our global business. And if the ideas aren't coming from us, they're coming from them. Whenever anyone comes up with a good idea that we think that we can put in front of our customers, whether it's voice-activated bets or betting through a console or betting through your TV, you could truly expect us to be one of the innovators and first to market with options like that.
Yeah. Kevin, since the conversion earlier this month from TVG to FanDuel, have you seen a pickup in advertising support?
Yes. In advertising support, I will. In regards to new advertisers on the network, is that what you're referring to? If it is, yes.
New advertisers as current advertisers stepping up.
Yes. So, as you eloquently mentioned, we were the horse racing network up until 14 or 15 days ago. We had an advertising portfolio that was very endemic horse racing prior to 2 weeks ago. A lot of horse racing industry types advertising on our network, given that we are solely dedicated to horse racing, those advertisers, none of them have left. We gave them the vision, we gave them the strategy, we communicated to them prior to us launching what we were going to do, and no one took any dollars away from their advertising efforts within our ecosystem. I will tell you that post-launch, we've seen almost a dozen new advertisers to the channel, so it's a phenomenal success for us. Mm-hmm. Jack in the Box, Bacardi, Firehouse Subs, Google TV, wow, I'm leaving out a lot. I just can't remember them all. But, yeah, these are all advertisers. Twisted Tea is a big one. National high-profile advertisers that have now joined our advertising portfolio. We're happy to push their brands out there. They've shown tremendous support, and And it's something that is, you know, something we're very proud of, that our ad sales team, led by Alyssa Zalesnik, is they're making waves. They're doing great, and it's a content offering that people love.
Yeah. Final question for you. I have a minute or two left. You mentioned that you're going to have on FanDuel Plus a casino channel. Does that mean that one of the things you're looking at is somehow, some way to maybe do an interactive version of Las Vegas games like roulette or keno or blackjack and so on and so forth?
So on FanDuel Plus, I have aspirations, and we will get it across the line at some point in time. In other regions of the world, again, this is me leaning on our global business, live dealer, actually watching someone deal in a live nature and betting along with a live dealer, that's a thing in Europe. And it's something that I would like to have as a content offering here. So I will get into that at some point in time, probably Q2 or Q3. PokerStars is something that's in with our portfolio as well, so poker programming could be a part of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's FanDuel TV, formerly TVG. It is now playing on cable systems, satellite operators throughout the country, also on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, multi-channel bundles, and there's also FanDuel Plus, the, you might say, mega content version with more stuff to see in all sorts of ways. And again, that's running through smart TV sets and smart devices. For more details about both services, you can go to FanDuel.com. That's FanDuel.com. Anyway, Kevin Grigsby, thank you very, very much for coming on. Congratulations on the conversion, on launching FanDuel Plus, and I have a hunch that much, much more from your organization is coming, sooner hopefully than later.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. I appreciate it. Tomorrow will be televised. It's amazing, and thanks for everything that you do.
You're very, very welcome. It is a pleasure to do it, and it's a pleasure, for example, for a day like today, to spotlight new ventures like yours and how you're shaping that future in some very exciting ways. Kevin, take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yep, you too, Simon. Thank you.
You're welcome. Kevin Grigsby joining us live from Los Angeles. Thank you to all of our guests from our quartet of ventures you've heard over the last 2 hours here on the Marvi Televive. I'd love to hear what you think about them. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Let me know on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And don't forget, we are back on Monday. My guest will be Scott Weinberger, the executive producer of ID's popular series On the Case with Paul Azan, and for World One TV, the president, Sean Reed. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage anytime this weekend. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast. It will be available in a few minutes on all of our family of great podcast platforms, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, including Digital Smart TV Set, and Google Podcasts at podcastgoogle.com. Plus our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. And remember, I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our adventures today? What's your thoughts about where the future of TV is headed? So email me, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. However you respond, we respond back to you within 24 hours. You know that. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. Now I say those of Blog Talk Radio and other streamers in this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and our wonderful family of podcast platforms, and our website at onpodium.com. Whatever you're doing between now and then, make it safe and great. Have been vaccinated. See your doctor. Check your medical situation. Find out all the alternative treatments available to you, including pills. You can find your pharmacy, sometimes free, and also without a prescription. And then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.